Welcome back to Gasbagging. I'm Dan Morrison, and I am here with not someone who's been on the podcast before, but someone I've wanted to be with for a long time because he's a hilarious human being. You may know him as Yolanda Parody, but he's also a Chris in real life. Chris, welcome to Gasbagging.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here. I'm also really nervous, to be honest, but this is amazing.
We've you don't
been
need to be
talking about this for a long time.
I know. And I feel like it, but like the reason you're here is because it's the Lizzie Buttrose episode of Real Housewives of Sydney. So I feel like you're the perfect person to talk on this iconic, not even a friend yes. of, just a chaotic member of society that walks into this party and just changes everyone's lives for the better.
Yes, she is. She's incredible. Like, this is, at some point, I was a little disappointed when I rewatched the episode because I was like, okay, this is a filler episode. But at the end, it's also like one of the most important episodes of the whole season. Like, Sydney is so great because it has like 10 episodes and there's not really any filler episodes, but this one kind of feels like one. But we will get into that. I'm obsessed with Lizzie Buttrose.
The event at the end is worth everything, I would say.
It changed everything. It changed the whole season.
The trajectory of I don't know, the
planet. Of multiple lives.
Just of multiple lives. Just before we get into it, do you have a Real Housewives tagline you can give me? Because like a lot of people who've been on this season so far have been on before, so they've shared theirs. But you, I would love to hear yours if you've got one in the bank.
Well, I thought about a few. Live, love, and Lexapro. Just like a Viennese schnitzel, my brain's fried. The horrors persist, but so do I.
That's good. I feel like that's all very deep. There's also a reference to a schnitzel in this episode of Real Housewives of Sydney
of
as well.
Fried.
So that feels poignant. Yeah. Great. No, I love that. Very accurate. Just very quickly, I want us to pray for Lydia's hair loss journey that I sent you just before we started recording.
Let's pray for her. I saw it and was like, what's going on again? Like, because she will post anything that's going on in her life.
Mm.
She looks so young still. Like,
she's stunning.
I would also need her doctor's numbers. But as you can see, she's going through it.
She's getting the best work in Melbourne and she's spruiking a hair loss product. And look, I'm on the same journey with her. So I'm trying to hang on to every follicle that's attached to the head. So
I feel like every gay man is going through a hair loss journey. So am I. Like, we've all been going through it. But she put a number there. I just saw.
Maybe we should all give it a call. So if you go to one of Lydia's recent posts, you can go on your own hair loss journey.
Well, let me give them a shout out. Call 1-800-800-500 at Advanced Hair Clinic for a consultation. Love that. She's God. So unserious.
I should reach out to them and get them to sponsor the pod. So
yes.
What a moment. Yeah, before we get into this week,
I was going to ask anyways.
Oh yeah,
like, go. I had a few questions before we start.
Oh yeah, please.
Are we allowed to cuss on here?
Oh, like, 100%. I've said the word cunt like a million times on this podcast.
Okay,
so
I'm
like
good.
Really not worried about swearing.
That's good.
Okay. Well, have you got some things fired up?
I didn't know who's the publisher. So I was just like, making sure.
Myself is the publisher. So I choose what goes through to the keeper. So I think whatever you need to say. Let's push the envelope here. So
good.
What got you, can I actually ask, is there what got you banned from Twitter? What was the final straw?
Like, this time I just deactivated myself, but I got banned for a few things. There's multiple crimes. The first time I got banned for calling somebody, I think, a cunt. I think that was reasonable that time.
Yeah, great.
The second one I didn't really get because I was actually commenting on Janet's Roach. Janet, was it Janet? I think it was Janet.
Janet Roach, the last season of
Melbourne aired. I told her to tell Anjali to drown in a pool. And I thought, I didn't think that was that threatening.
That's
was
a
very
reference
reasonable.
To the show. How dare that?
Yeah. I was just promoting.
That's just fun.
Yeah, and and the last time I was got randomly banned, and on Christmas Day they just like gave me back my account, and then I was on for quite a while. And this spring I just decided to deactivate for a while, start my own journey without social media.
There you go. And how's that treating you at the moment?
It's actually very good because I simultaneously started multiple journeys. I quit smoking. I stopped drinking. Like I haven't had a drink for like 6 months or something. And yeah, I'm just trying to like be very zen. So, which is not at all what I represented on Twitter. Because people know me way like bad shit crazy, Kelly Dodd, insane. Motherfucker, that's also what I wanted to be. Like, it's not like I didn't want to be like that, but I'm very more zen, I would say, now.
Well, you're playing a character, I would say. Yolanda Parody was its own form.
Exactly. And people wouldn't get that. They would get mad at about anything. Like, thinking about highlights, like the Jiggy tweet, the like multiple things, the gay dog, the homophobic dog. People would get mad. I would get death threats all the time.
And I need to tell, if you're fine with me telling people this, that you created the homophobic dog.
Oh, like, yeah, I take full credit for that.
Your creation. Yeah, it so was. Yeah, so if anyone's listening, Chris here was the actual creator of homophobic dog.
Whitney Houston.
Internet royalty. Yeah.
Well, not really. It wasn't that special. And also, I had fun creating that.
It was fucking funny. Of course you had fun creating it. Like,
but people would get mad. Like, once I put a watermark over it and people were like so upset. I'm like, this is not public. Like, this is public property, but I want people to know that it was me. Because sometimes people would like put different things or they would put a different quote over it. And we would say something like, I'm not homophobic anymore. And I'm like, yes, you are. This is my creation. Of course he's homophobic.
I made you. You're still extremely homophobic.
Yes, and it took a life of its own. And once too many people participated, I lost interest and I got really mad about it every time I saw it. Like, I blocked the dog. I used to like DM with the owners because I was like, hey, I'm sorry you're going through this right now with your dog. But
what a world to live in. Well, I support your detox from it now as well. So that I feel like that tracks with what's been happening.
It does. Thank you.
Just very quickly, you stalked Crystal Minkoff in Amsterdam, yes?
Well, that's also like, there's a story to this, and it's like, I don't know, I have to keep it short. I was there with friends that I also like met via Twitter, and I'm still close with Tati and Amy, shout out to them. And we had like one of the worst nights before. Like, we were bad shit, crazy drunk. We were just in Amsterdam. Like, there was a bump or two involved.
Yeah, great.
We were going out and we woke up wasted and trashed the next day. It was crazy. And a friend of ours, I think you know him as well, Aiden, DM'd me that Crystal was in Amsterdam and I was just having like breakfast or my first espresso martini. It was 10 a.m.
As you do.
So I just DM'd her because I used to DM her with her anyways. She would take her time to like, because of the time difference as well, because I live in Vienna and she lives in Beverly Hills, allegedly. So I just DM'd her and she replied right away and was like, girl, I'm in Amsterdam as well. Where are you? What are you doing? She's like, well, we are about to have lunch at this and this place. Like, I'm not going to say, but I was like, can we meet you? Like, would that bother you? If we met? And she was like, no, come to this place and we will take pictures and you can meet Rob and the kids and stuff. I'm like, okay. And I was like having drinks with Amy at that point. I'm like, okay, let's take a shot. We have to go. So I called an Uber to that place and then she would not show up for like 2 hours or 1.5 hours. So we had even more drinks because we just like, we were so wasted and we had to get through this day. We had to push through. And then she showed up and she was the nicest person. Like, I've never met a celebrity before, but she was like so sweet. And we like took pictures and talked to her. I was crying because I was so nervous. It was embarrassing. Like, the pics are not good.
I
like,
remember that photo when you posted that, and you were just like tears in the eyes.
And I didn't know, I was not even that much of a fan, but I was just beautiful. Nervous. But it was a cute pic, and she was really nice. And, you know, we talked and we met Rob briefly. He was like, you would not know that they are celebrities. She was wearing like a Zara dress, and he was like just wearing his trucker hat, decent t-shirt. Like, they were very normal. They were so nice to us. And like, yeah, we had a really nice, like, time there. It wasn't dinner, it was lunch, I think. I don't remember. It was such a stunning. It was very blurry.
That's a lovely interaction though. So I'm happy that you are. So are you still like a Crystal stan to this day after that interaction?
Not on the show, but like I like her as a person. Yeah. Like the person that is, but on the show she's like, I don't know. She kind of lost me at some point. And I think she's lost too.
Yeah, she needs to be doing a little bit more. So I'm hoping this next season of Beverly Hills, she's found, I don't know, some guts. And also I hope we hear more about her pop star brother as well. He somehow interests me more than some of her storylines. So I hope I see that.
And he's also LGBT, right? Is that the one?
I
think he is.
Great. Well, that's good to know because when I heard he was big in China, I thought that would mean he possibly isn't, but that's great if he is. So let's.
Well, maybe we're not allowed to say
plays out.
Maybe we're not.
Maybe we're not allowed to say that. Yes. Yeah. Let's see that play out.
Wow.
I want to talk about this week's Salt Lake City, but just before we get there, just very quick thoughts on Real Housewives of Orange County and New York, just where you're at. I guess Shannon Bedore's been arrested, but that's
Shannon Storms Bedore. It was so funny because we were just like in the group chat I still have and talk about Housewives. I don't really have that. I don't really watch that much reality TV anymore. I just watch like SSC and like I rewatch all seasons that like give me comfort and stuff. So I'm not really that engaged. But when they sent me in the group chat, I was like, wow, Shannon Storms Bedore. And first I thought it was about a fake blind item I sent. I once sent out a blind attempt to like Domois. You know, they post anything. It was about a gambling addiction and they posted that. And it was like pointing towards Shannon. And I was like, not again. Because I do that sometimes when I was bored. I did. Like, I don't do that anymore, but I did. Yeah. And one of those posts like even made it into the show.
Don't.
But
what was
I'm
it?
Not saying that I was the one that sent it.
What was it?
I think allegedly, Terry Dubrow cheated on Heather Dubrow, or is cheating, or they are getting divorced. It was something like that. And then they would mention it, and they were like,
that's a big one. That's a big one.
I was very bored that day. Nothing
that's probably
was
why
going
they
on
did
on
those
show.
Pap photos, those horrific pap photos.
They were. Like,
you probably caused them to do those horrific photos.
Well, they had to do something. She pissed me off last season, I have to say. The way she treated Noella, she had to do something.
Noella should have been, like, should still be on that show because she's a great housewife.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I miss her. But, like, talking about Shannon, I'm like, she recently split up with her, whatever that was, man. And so I think she's going through it. And she's always been somebody like people like over the last seasons, she was always drinking.
Yeah.
Every time something was up, she was drinking when she came on the show. She was drinking when she like was breaking up with David. She was drinking when she came out with that frozen food stuff. And she had her up and down. Mm. She's like one of the craziest women on the whole franchise, I think, because she has, she shares her whole journey and she's still in character and she always has like her hand movements in the confessionals. And one thing I love about her is when she talks about somebody and she always goes with first name, last name. She's like, you know, Megan King Edmonds knows nothing about charities. And she's like such a character. And for her to go through this now, I'm so excited to follow her on that journey. Because I remember Luann's journey and you also talked about it in the like the most recent guest bagging episode. <Thank you. laughs> It was crazy. And this opened so many new doors for her. And I'm excited to open a new door.
Oh, great. There you go. That should have been. That should have been. That that can be her tagline next season.
Well, rehab.
I may have crashed my car, but I'm ready to open a new bedore.
Again. Yeah.
Oh, poor Archie. I feel like he's been thrown into this more than anyone.
Yeah, he's suffering. The things he has seen, and he's just like a normal retriever. He didn't choose this life. He's just. No. I feel bad for him.
He's a star, but he did not choose this life. Very quickly, Roni thoughts. New cast.
Roni thoughts. Roni. Let me tell you, I was the first one, and this is also like, I feel like me and my friends, we take a lot of credit for getting one of the women fired before the show even aired. Lizzie Savetsky, like the Zionist. Like, I hated that woman. Like, I'd never met her, but I hated her from
the start. Speak on her, because no one even knows she exists, so you need to speak on her.
I would be the one, like, to make people, give them the stage, and then they would be relevant again. just like it happened with NGK. Nobody knew who NGK was until I, like, had this Twitter beef with her. But yeah, I like Roni. I like the new ones. It feels very different. It's not like the old Roni, of course. It's not like Dorinda. It's less alcohol, I feel like,
yeah.
Which is good. Everyone is sharing their like trauma and experiences. It's very open. Like, the women were never that open at the beginning of a season. They were like more, this is my MLM. This is my fake husband. This is my gay husband. You don't know that yet, but yeah. I will show you about like the storylines about my gay husband in season 7 or something like that. But here, it's like very honest and real. And I really like Jessel and Jenna.
Mm-hmm.
I like those. Double great. J. I don't really like Erin. I feel like Erin, the first episode I watched, she creeps me out. I'm scared of her. She looks like she belongs on The Real Housewives of Dallas with those, like, she has those crazy eyes. She looks like one of those ladies.
Yes, I do. The facade, she does look like it, yeah. I do enjoy her, though. Like, I'm not going to say, like, I don't enjoy her.
I like her for being a villain. What I don't like is that she's not feeding anyone.
Exactly.
Like, give the people food. That pisses me off. If I'm invited somewhere, doesn't matter. Make sure there's either something to drink or something to eat. Like, or tell me that this is just, like, a casual get-together and not, like, dinner. But, yeah, that pissed me off in the beginning. But... I have this, like, you know, I from the place where I come from and where I work, I always know you need a hero and a villain for a story to be interesting, and she totally serves and gives the villain part.
And who do you not like? I feel like you were about to say someone before.
I have a hate-love relationship with Brynn. I like her because she's sometimes entertaining, but sometimes it's giving... She's not a housewife. She's like Tinsley. She reminds me of Tins being like, she's too young. But Tins wasn't really that young, but we found that out later on. Because Tins always seemed like a 30-something and not really on the same caliber. Like, she would not
hang... a tragic 40.
Yeah, like, she wouldn't... Like, those people would not be in the same venue. Like, you would not find these people hanging out or going to dinner in that setup. So she's just thrown in. Same with Uba, but I like Uba because I love her cousin. Real Housewives of Dubai. I forgot her name now. Fuck.
Chanel Ayan.
Oh yeah, Chanel Ayan. How could I forget? Yeah. Oh, Chanel, yeah. I love her. and they seem like the same person to me at some point. But they're a little bit above the drama. Yeah. They post a lot about a god on Instagram. They're very entertaining. They're characters. They're meant to be models. They're so beautiful.
Reality
and they're meant to be on reality TV.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a journey for me. And I'm I'm open to it. I was not open to it in the beginning because I was like, who the fuck are these ladies? And I also kind of, like, nobody talks about this, but what I feel like, it's very disrespectful the way the women hold the apples in the title card. Like, they hold it like it's just
casually,
like some kind of, very casually, like an accessory. And I'm like,
a prop.
People used to, women, people, nations used to go to war for these apples. You don't know, like, the disrespect. Jill Saren would kill. She would give up her firstborn and her lastborn. She would give up Ellie for this apple, and you are disrespecting.
She'll give up Ellie now. She'll give up Ellie now just to be a friend of. Like, that's her. That's her goal in life.
She would put her up for adoption right away.
We've got to move on to Salt Lake because I don't want to go too long on these other girls because I feel like Salt Lake had a very good episode this week.
I get it.
I just need to say I'm so happy Mary is back. Just every line Mary's saying, like, who is Angie? Heather has a big mouth. Like, just all the actual, like, sides are so good.
I'm so, like, I just watched the latest episode last night and I was so happy. I was so excited. It's like one of the first episodes in a long time that I was like, this is peak Real Housewives. This is peak reality. I was so happy and so excited. I was laughing. I was giggling. Mm. I was crying. I had many epiphanies. but the whole episode, it's so good. You know, something that I took notes. I came here prepared. I hate nothing more than somebody not
prepared.
Coming somewhere coming unprepared, not my style. So I had to take notes. Mm. What I noticed is when they walked into the Trixie Motel, Mary was not like hugging Trixie or something. She was more like Trixie greeting Mary. She was like entering like the Pope. And she was like, well, it's so great to meet you. Like, welcome to my hotel. It's so funny. Because Trixie, she is only like, Trixie's a recent Real Housewives fan. She has just started watching the shows maybe 2 years ago or something. Because I remember she was tweeting about Mary and stuff, and I know she's a big fan. So for her, it was more like meeting a celebrity than Mary had no idea who she was. Oh, so funny.
Absolutely
to me.
No idea. Perfect.
And Mary had so many the end in the van, and it was amazing. Like the whole season, I liked the new girl very much. She's very entertaining.
Yeah, Monica's great. I love when Angie was calling over Mary when they first got to the hotel. She's like, Mary, come on over, girl. And Mary's like, I'm not coming over there. Please stop talking to me like that. I don't like it.
Yeah. She despises Whitney. And she also does not like Angie K. I feel like she watched the last season. I feel like she knows what's good. I feel like Mary is the kind of girl. She was in her closet having Dom Perignon, and then she watched that show and she wanted to know what was going on while she was gone, and she came prepared. She said, I do not like this lady.
Amazing. And also, even though I do not like Angie K as a person, but I feel like she's playing a very good role where she's sitting in there annoying people, antagonizing and doing what she needs to do. Not that I'm not going to go, she's my favorite housewife, but she's making things move along. So I'm like, I appreciate that she's there and she's playing ball with these women.
Yeah, I feel like she is playing more like Lisa's role, because Lisa tries to be so neutral these days.
Yeah.
Because I feel like she can't take the heat. So Angie K took over for her and she's a little bit of a puppet, as Bethany Frankel or Carol Radziwill would like to say, or not like to say. But she's she is the catalyst, and she's also a little bit of Whitney's puppet. That's kind of embarrassing to be the puppet of a puppet. Like, what does that make you? But I do not like Angie K. I do not like her on the show. I like that she's getting bashings. I never liked her. I even put out a fake rumor about her once on Twitter, and it made it to several podcasts, and people would believe that. It's so funny.
What was the rumor?
Because she's the rumor was something about her wardrobe being rented, or she bought the wardrobe and she thought Bravo would pay for it. It was so funny. It was it would not make sense at all. It was written.
I feel I did see that, and love that came from you. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was it was written in very bad English because I was drunk. I think I was in the club and I made it up. I was this lady is pissing me off. Get her off my show. we lost Mary because of her. That's what I felt like. It felt like a bad replacement. So, but I like that she can play, as I said, as same with Erin, she's playing the villain part, and that I'm here for. And she woke Meredith up. And every time Meredith is awake, it's a good season or a good episode.
Oh, the slurring of her, her enunciation this episode was one of my favorite things in the world. Like her going, this is lame and embarrassing for you. So the rumors, nastiness about her husband.
You're embarrassed.
She also sounded extremely Australian. She goes, tell her to fuck off. Like, she it was like she had just said. So she went through so many different accents during this entire thing. It was just like phenomenal to watch. And it also was obsessed with Mary's story about her African grey that she had. She was
oh my God.
That bird was weird. She wanted to stare at me all the time. It was like a flying cat.
It was like a flying cat. It was so good. It instantly gave me flashbacks. It was like, she's like the opposite of Monique Samuels, like with pets, I feel like.
Yes. Yeah.
Because I was like African Grey and it triggered me. It instantly like triggered.
Yeah.
Like all these memories came back to me. It was like, I could see images of Monique dragging Candace. I could see images of the bird and Karen and everything. Like African Grey mentioned it at any place, like trauma
straight to Monique. Yes, no, I was remembering it like flying at Wendy's face and her like throwing herself in the kitchen, like that was like where I went to immediately.
I miss Monique.
Amazing moment. I do as well. I don't need to see her on what is it, Love and Marriage DC or something. That can get fucked. Like, as much as everyone loves Carlos King, I don't want to watch that piece of shit.
From what I've seen, she's not in love and she's not married anymore. So I guess that's the reason why she's not no longer on that show as well. Just bring her back on Housewives.
Show for her.
Yeah.
Please. Yeah, bring her back to Potomac. I would love to see her there. Love to see her, like, you know, be in a little fight with Mia. There we go. Sorry. Mia, I'd love to see Monique spar with Mia. Yes, there we go.
Mia, Monique, they could team up. I know her and Karen are still talking and friends. I feel like, you always need the best Real Housewives shows. It always has like two sides and you need two teams for it to work for like 10 or 20 episodes. But we don't really have that anymore. Yeah. It's always like a gang up recently. It's almost like the girls are bullying each other.
Oh, yeah. Well, not shocking. This show lends itself to our bullying, and also just at the end of the episode, do we think Heather is vomiting and pissing, or her vomit? Has
oh my God! I wanted to ask. I literally have that in my notes. I was like, "What was that?" Because it was like it was a waterfall. Like, what was that? It was between her legs. Was the bag ripped? Was it vomit? What was it?
I think she's vomiting and pissing. Maybe. Yeah, I don't. I think it's a bit of both.
Screaming, crying, throwing up.
Beautiful, beautiful. I'm so happy that's how it kind of ended.
No, back to Mary. I'm like, that's what I wanted to ask as well. That was so random. Like, that's what I said. She hates Whitney. She despises that lady. All of a sudden, she's like, this is all Whitney's fault, like randomly. And she sits, and you can't see her. So you only see like the subtitles. And it says, you called me pornography. And I was in bed crying from laughing. It was like, where did this come from? But in my mindset, I was like, Yes, she did. She did call her pornography. You called me porn. And then she asked Heather. Heather was fighting for her life in that van. It's always a sprinter van. Like, she was fighting for her life, and she said, a predator.
Yeah, it says predator.
Predator. Right. And I love the names she calls her. You are not real. She hates her. I love it.
Oh, it's beautiful. And I love that I couldn't even see a frame of Mary during that entire thing. It was just this voiceover. And I was like, this is perfect work from you. You have found your corner of the sprinter van and you are screaming at Whitney. And she's also fighting for her life while Heather is as well. Like, beautiful.
She knew what she was doing. And I also love that Mary doesn't like Angie K. She still hates Lisa. And yeah, it's a great show. Oh, have to talk about The Ring? Do we have to?
No. We don't have to talk about The Ring. I feel like we don't. I don't feel like we have time either.
Okay, because I just wanted to say, I feel like Trixie was not there for it as well. She was like, "Well, if you just want a new ring, just say that." I was dying. I feel like she does. Like, Trixie does not like Lisa Barlow as well. She's on my team.
She's not a fan. All right. We'll take a break and we'll come back with our recap of Real Housewives of Sydney. And we're back with Real Housewives of Sydney, episode 7.
We are. Chris,
yes. How did you feel reconnecting with the girls?
Well, the first time I've watched Real Housewives of Sydney, it was quite the experience because I've never seen anything like this before, and I've watched years of reality TV. So every time I watch it at least once a year. It's always a great time. I was excited when you asked me to come here to talk about this, and especially this episode. But when I started the episode, I realized it was a filler episode, so the excitement kind of dropped. But then towards the end, it's what, like, it makes up for it.
Yeah, that's where all the juice is.
Such a character. Such a moment.
One of my, like, the reason I realize Athena is just making up whatever the fuck she's hearing is, like, at the beginning of the episode, she's like, oh, Nicole actually said, at least I don't pull my clothes out of the St. Vinny's DePaul bin. So just for your context, St. Vinny's and St. Vincent DePaul, like, that's the company that are secondhand clothes here, which is absolutely not what was said at all during that dinner. So she's just, like, created a whole new line about what happened. It's amazing. Her spiritual meltdown, as she calls it.
The spiritual meltdown, like the sit down she has, right? That's how it starts. Like, she has to sit down. She's still, like, she has trauma. And what I love, like, what she's like, she's always like, these are low vibrational people, the way she says it.
Yeah.
And the way it always makes me think about that meme, like having a low vibrational food plate or something. And she is right. Like, these are low vibrational people. She's hilarious. And she's so, like, she's in her own world. And I follow her on Instagram. And every time she, like, I get an alert when she posts. I'm always so excited because you never know what you get. And sometimes she still talks about the show. Like, her posts are usually just, she's done with the show and she's not coming back. And I fear nobody asked her, but she's still like...
She acts like people are asking her on the regular, like as if like people are in her DMs every day going like, what's happening? Where are you? And I don't believe people are. I think she probably sees like one reference to her and she has to like come out going, no, I am not doing this. So
she has a very different perception of what is real and what is reality TV and who she is. It's so interesting to watch her. I would love to see her back at some point, but I feel like it's not healthy for her. And at this point, maybe better going into the new season without her.
No, not healthy at all. Just very quickly, you meet Joe Bailey at the lunch at Centennial with Victoria. I did enjoy saying I can't go back to work after a wine. Joe goes, do you work?
This whole lunch, it was like so, like I phased out the whole time and she was like so serious about everything. And I'm like, wrinkle schminkles, you know what I mean? It's like, is that a good name? Is that like, is the whole thing, is the whole concept a good name? Even Athena brings it up later. She's like, she's launching her product at a charity event. Is this whole, what is this? Who thought about this? Was this production?
Possibly. I wouldn't put it past them.
And she's like, well, we have to raise money for Victor Chang. I'm like, who? She's so funny. Wrinkle Schminkles. I'm like, I've never heard of a worse name. And initially, I thought it was the name of the charity, and it didn't make sense to me. It was like, this is like the second time, like fourth time maybe that I've seen the whole season. I'm like, homeless, not toothless. Maybe it was not that bad of a name because Wrinkle Schminkles.
comparison. Yeah, it's quite genius, actually, when you think about it. Melissa auditioning dances with Chrissy Marsh.
Oh, God.
Chrissy did not need to be there. I loved when she just, like, walked in and was like, should I just join in? And then...
She has so much confidence. I admire her confidence.
Her screaming, I want to be a pop princess. I was just like, oh, Bebe Rexha wishes. Like, it's just...
Yeah, it was so crazy because she's like, the whole time she's complimenting Melissa, like all the time, and in her confessional as well, she's always talking about Melissa is great. You know, Melissa's in the industry. And I know you've said it on the podcast as well. It's like, what industry? Nobody knows who that lady is, and she's an actress, and she's a star, she's a performer.
Yeah, she's going to be in, what was it, the, like, Boar, which was, like, the pig horror movie. Like, that's, like, I don't think your career's going in a certain direction where, you know, that's where you want to be. But, like, also, am I going to rush to download that movie after I finish this season of recapping? Of course. Like, I want to see her, hopefully, destroyed by a pig, but we'll see.
you're right, I guess. I would too. yeah, Christy Marsh, what a woman. What a unit.
Oh, she, and I can't wait to see her on the unit. Yes, unit is the correct word for her. I can't wait to see her on the next season of Real Housewives. I'm happy to see her back. I feel like she's one of the ones where she wasn't too offensive, but has enough.
No, she'll
be good.
She was making sense. I mean, she was lying about the Chewbacca thing because I caught that too. Because why would you mention Star Wars if you, like, there's a lot of conspiracies that I have about Housewives as well, and this is one of them. Like, yeah, because, like, why would you even mention Star Wars?
No,
it is exactly what it is.
Lisa's Thermomix commercial during this episode was actually quite
the third one in this season. We're in episode 7, and I think it's the third or fourth time we see her Thermomix and her snake.
That snake was trying to kill her, wasn't it? Like, it was actually wrapped around her neck trying to choke her out. Like, that was...
And it got me nervous as well. Like, I feel like if you would... Because it seems like Maddie was freaking out or something, but... She was not freaking out. Everybody
would
freak out.
Hold her head! Hold her head!
Yeah. Hold her head! She was so... I love her. I don't get why she's not back. She's like the Chica of Sydney. She's like the Chica of Sydney, I feel like. She's like a part of that city, and she has to be there. But if I was there alive, and I saw a snake wrapping around somebody's body tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter, like almost cinching her whole body, I was like, there's something wrong here. You have no control over this situation, and I do not know for how long she has had this snake, if this was just like an accessory she got for the show, so she'd be like, you know.
The other girls, Chrissy, Nicole, and Victoria on that boat, I just have to say, those women are sitting on Sydney Harbour, why is Nicole wearing a full denim dress and a purple fedora? Like, what? Like, none of them got the memo that they were, like, on a boat in Sydney Harbour. Like, what the fuck are they wearing?
For somebody who has won a title like hers, she does not really know a lot about fashion, I feel. Like, she, and with all the money she has, she could buy anything and hire anyone to, like, help her. She's a mess. But that whole, like I said, a filler episode, like... What are they even doing? Like, it's always those ladies on a boat. My favorite moment, though, like one of the times these ladies get together and they're on a boat, it's like Victoria talking about Lisa Oldfield. Mm. She's like, she's not that interesting. She likes to be around men, and men are so stupid. And you see, and then you have Maddie in the back. She's like, yes. So funny. But yeah, other than that episode was not really giving until like the Hope Diamond was... received.
No, one of the things I do want to say from the boat from Victoria was her talking about Athena from the past episode, like going on about, like, you know, obviously all the abuse and everything. And then Victoria goes, Maddie was in a war. She's not screaming and yelling at people.
She was in a war. It was like, where did that come from? Like, nobody ever mentioned that. Also, even if she, like, Maddie was probably talking about her past, like, she was going through it. Like,
yeah, she's probably saying her. Iran was in a war, not I was physically in a war. But, like, that's how Victoria read it, and I'll accept that.
It sounded like Maddie was at the front.
Frontline Gailey.
She was fighting for her life. That's right. That was
phenomenal.
I noticed that too. That was so funny. I love Victoria. Sorry. I'm so sorry.
She's great. No, she is great. She can call me a stupid little poof day any day of the week. She is poof day.
If that is the reason why she did not come back, like that stupid comment, like I thought Australians are supposed to have a humor about stuff like that.
Yes, Pufta, exactly. That's
she could have said much worse.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
It's cute.
She could have said F slur. That's fine. We can say faggot on this podcast. It's fine.
Thank God.
Go for it. But like, let's go to the event. So Lisa and Athena posting Queens Don't Compete with Hoes on their Instagram.
Very pivotal moment. I even scrolled all the way back. The post is still up. If you follow Lisa Oldfield, it's still there.
Amazing. Yes. She's on private now. So if you actually do follow her, it's actually a really elite club that you're in. So I'm very honored to be a part of that.
And she does not accept everyone. She does not.
No, that's what I mean. It's an honored space to be in. So I'm happy I'm part of it.
I even took a screenshot of the post just in case it gets deleted. And it says, right. #damn, #straight, #allhailthequeen, #realhousewivesofsydney, #realhousewivesofsydney, @AthenaXLavendi. And AthenaXLavendi is the only person that I follow that liked this post. Maybe I'm also the only person that scrolled all the way back to 2016.
Yeah, well, as you should. Because you're a researcher, you're a journalist, you do things. Like, you're actually, you know, you're on the beat.
Not like Carol Radzivill. No. Do you know that episode, like, when Sonia says, like, Carol Radzivill is not an artist, she's a fucking correspondent. It's so good. Amazing. It's all in my head all the time.
Very quickly, just in the background of this scene, one of the new women who are joining, Victoria Montana, is actually in the background. So I do like that we have a very thin thread to one of the new women joining in season two. So that was like the first time, obviously the first time I've ever noticed it, because she's only just been announced recently. But I'm like, hello. I was like, there's finally someone. So thank God for that. Lizzie Buttros comes into the party and is like showing the photo to Chrissy and co.
She just got her hair done.
As Chrissy says, she certainly doesn't come here to get her hair done. And Victoria says she's a scrub woman. And then the other woman talking to her goes, she looks rough as guts, which is very Aussie. I really enjoy that as a phrase.
She had to be like, there were so many people there. If you would like be at the event, nobody would particularly stand out. But I feel like Lizzie Buttros is such a presence. If you're in the same room with her, you would immediately notice. And everybody noticed. And she's like, Lizzie Buttros is here. And she's like, what? She was gagged. So funny.
She came in so
And then
hot.
she goes up to them and she's like, where are my friends? Lisa Oldfin and Athena. I'm wearing Lavendi. And then she shows off. Lavendi, Lavendi, Lavendi. What a queen. I love drama. I love that.
You're hideous. You're revolting.
Yes.
The one thing that is in my head, like, I, honest to God, like, every day of the week is like, I'm here for the Victor Chang. From Lizzie.
It's so good. It's, I don't know. I feel like we don't get something like this again. Like,
I know.
I have high hopes for the next season. I've seen the trailer, and I've seen the cast photos, and they look promising. But I've been I've been burnt before. So not getting my hopes up.
No, that is absolutely fine. And I also just love Maddie screaming at Lizzie as she's like walking away. She's like, have you bought anything? Have you donated to charity? Bitch, please.
She's so good. Like, what she wore, she like had this leather jacket on. She looked so gangster. Yeah. Like, she was ready to beat her up.
Looking cunt.
Because I feel like, looking cunt. She was serving and looking cunt. Because I feel like Maddie, if you don't realize, she has been pushed to the limit per episode, she's been pushed twice or three times by Lisa Oldfield physically, and she's been pushed around all the time. I was like, she's
physically pushed by Lisa Oldfield, and she's still friends with her.
Yes, she just takes it on the chin, and I feel like they pushed her to the limit at some point where she's gonna like throw fists.
I love Joe Bailey during the auction, and he's like, "We've got the Lavendi here, the one Victoria hates." And then Victoria, this is like just such an Australian thing. She's like sitting there going, can you stop giving him a drink and give him a schnitzel?
It's so funny.
Just very.
She was panicking in the inside because she did not want this in the paper. She said that she did not want this in the paper. And I thought, like, nobody was going to report on this. No press is here.
And although when you find out the next episode, they did report on Lizzie just making an absolute scene. Also, just Joe's voice in my head every day, just hearing, dear little thing, is it? Dear little thing.
The bespoke diamond pendant, as Athena calls it. This bespoke diamond pendant. And I think Victoria said, it's not the Hope diamond.
Iconic. And then I just, the imagery that always gets me is Lizzie standing there at that auction and she like drops her phone and you just see the full champagne like flick out of the glass as she like struggles to like pick up the phone.
Tragic.
Phenomenal.
Tragic.
She was screaming like a fishwife, as Victoria says.
But at least she got the name right, like the Lavandia, because she kept saying Lavandia.
Oh, yes,
but Lavandia. At the end of the episode, she knew. Yeah.
So Lizzie taught her by that point. When the girls are, after the event, just like standing there at the bar and they're having a drink, and they're looking at their queens don't compete with hers, and Victoria looks at the photo, she goes, Athena looks like she's had a stroke.
It's so, oh my God. And like, just thinking about that one phone call Lisa Oldfield had previously, like prior to the event with Athena, and they were like talking about what was going on, and then she's like, well, I'm planning my ranch for you as we speak, and we hear a name we've never heard before, and it's like Lizzie Buttrose, and she's like, that's also a quote that I always think about. Kinder surprise, get fucked, Victoria. It's so funny.
Oh, yes, I had the same thing written down. She goes, like, if I was disinvited, I would say, here's a Kinder surprise, get fucked. That's it. That
is a Kinder perfection. Surprise. Two little words for you, Victoria Reese. Lizzie Buttrose. She did
and
that.
And we didn't know what treat we're in for, and then we found her.
No, because if you watched it for the first time, you're like, who is that? Like, there's no intro. Nobody ever talks about her.
No.
I don't know her. But I think people know where she comes from, right? Because it's like in Australia.
She got a name.
Yes,
exactly. Yeah, we kind of knew the last name, but we didn't know what was attached to it at the end. A woman who apparently gave her son at 14 crystal meth, according to a article that came out this year, which is just insane. Absolutely insane.
Well, from what I've seen, I believe everything. I've read. At the end of the auction, Victoria was furious because she blamed Lizzie that they only got like 1,500 whatever Australian dollars for that pendant, the bespoke diamond pendant from Lavandia, designed by her and her brother. And I think Victoria is to blame. It's her event. She could have promoted this way better. She could have, like, put a bid on that as well. But
100%,
she blamed Lizzie.
She could have helped them out. That is on Victoria, and they should send her the bill.
If anything, Lizzie salvaged that event. To me,
she did. she did. Actually got Victor Chang's name out there. So, like, I think she actually did God's work by doing that. So,
period.
Kudos to Lizzie. All right, we're going to take a break and we'll come back with some recommendations. And we're back with some recommendations now. Chris, what do you recommend this week?
Well, as of recent events, I recommend rewatching The Hills and the City because of Kelly Catrone, who has recently launched her new agency or project or whatever with the co-artist or con artist, co-artist and con artist, Anna Delvey. So it's quite a journey. I love The Hills. I feel that's the first reality show I've ever watched. And it's so good, like the drama. And there's so much lore behind the scenes. And also so much content you can watch after watching that. And that's my recommendation. And Stan Whitney, Stan, Kelly Catrone. And also if you finished watching The Hills and the City, you can watch The Hills New Beginnings and get reintroduced to my dear friend, not my dear friend, but my mother, my sister-in-law, my far away cousin, like Stephanie Pratt. I love her as well. What
Stephanie
a woman.
Pratt. Phenomenal TV. And if anyone hasn't seen her on her Made in Chelsea seasons, I think she's on from season 7 onwards, which is a phenomenal turn for her. So highly recommend.
And she's got a British accent.
She does, because she spent like a couple months in Chelsea. Chris, thank you so much for doing this. Where can people follow you?
They can follow me. I will be back on Twitter at some point at Yolanda_parody.
Phenomenal account.
If you don't know me, maybe that's a better. Or my private Instagram at chrisldizzle.official. That's me.
Get some great dog content from there as well, because you're new dog dad. So
yes, because I am now also a mother and father and brother and sister. I love him so much. He's sleeping right now next to me.
Oh.
I'll be back anytime if you need me for the finale, if you need me for the reunion, because I have some thoughts about that as well. Or the new season. Right. I'll be back anytime.
Also the new season. I wanna hear your horrific thoughts on these new women, which is always warranted. If you want to follow me, I'm at Dan Tom Morrison on Twitter or at Gasbagging on Instagram and TikTok. Chris, thank you so much for doing this again. And very quickly, are you getting renewed or cancelled this week?
What?
Are you getting renewed or cancelled as a person?
Oh, I don't know. I feel like cancelled. Cancelled is the way.
Yeah, great. There we go. Phenomenal turn for you. All right. Thank you and farewell.
Bye.